Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com, promo code MACK25.
This is a true crime in real time update. The latest on the biggest cases we're following at True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Cassie Ventura has been quiet for years about her relationship with Sean Diddy Combs, but she's finally speaking out. And the story she's telling isn't one about a fairy tale romance or the glamorous world of music and luxury. It's a story of manipulation, violence, and exploitation. It's a story that sets the stage for one of the highest profile trials in recent memory, as Combs faces charges of sex trafficking, racketeering conspiracy, and transportation to engage in prostitution. The world is watching, and Cassie's testimony may be the key to determining whether these charges hold water. Their relationship, which spanned from 2005 to 2018, was anything but ordinary. On the surface, it looked like the kind of relationship that people might envy. Cassie Ventura, an up-and-coming pop star, and Sean Diddy Combs, one of the most powerful moguls in the entertainment industry. She was signed to his label, Bad Boy Records, and soon became his girlfriend. Combs, a man known for his iron grip on both his business empire and personal life, wasn't just her lover. He was her boss, her mentor, her gatekeeper to the music world. Think of it like one of those office romances that sounds fun at first, but quickly starts to blur the lines between professional and personal. Except in Cassie's case, the power imbalance wasn't just awkward. It was dangerous. Now, fast forward to May 2024. A bombshell video surfaced showing a heated altercation between Cassie and Combs back in 2016. In the footage, Combs can be seen grabbing, kicking, and beating Cassie in a hotel room. It wasn't just a random moment of anger. It was the physical proof that what Cassie had been alleging for years wasn't just an emotional outburst. It was a glimpse into the daily torment she had suffered under Combs' control. The video sparked widespread outrage, but what's even more alarming is what Cassie is now claiming in her 2023 lawsuit, allegations that go far beyond physical violence. Cassie's lawsuit, filed in November of 2023, paints a disturbing picture of what it was like to be in a relationship with Diddy. In her complaint, she alleges that she was coerced into participating in freak-off sex sessions with men that Combs had arranged. These weren't spontaneous affairs. Combs orchestrated them. He would set up meetings, fly in male sex workers, and pressure Cassie into taking part in these highly sexualized encounters, all while he watched, filmed, and sometimes even controlled the drugs that flowed. You could think of it as a sort of twisted private party. Except no one was there for fun. Cassie wasn't participating willingly. She was forced, coerced under the influence of drugs and intimidation. But that's just one part of her accusations. There's also the physical and psychological abuse she endured during their years together. Cassie claims that Combs would frequently assault her, beating her, choking her, even dragging her across floors when she tried to leave. She says he would then use her fear to control her. These weren't isolated incidents. They were a regular part of her life. Combs allegedly manipulated her into believing that he had control over her career and her future. She felt trapped, and she claims Combs made it clear that if she didn't comply with his demands, he would destroy her career. It's the kind of abusive behavior that makes you question how much power someone can have over another person's life, especially when that person holds all the cards in a high-stakes business relationship. As if that wasn't enough, Cassie's allegations take a darker turn. In 2018, after Cassie finally made an attempt to break free from the relationship, Combs allegedly raped her when she tried to leave him. This was, according to Cassie, the final straw. She had tried to walk away, but he physically prevented her from doing so. After everything she had gone through, being controlled, manipulated, and abused, she says Combs resorted to sexual violence in one last act of dominance. It's not just a claim. It's part of a pattern of behavior that Cassie says had been building for years. The events laid out in Cassie's lawsuit tie directly into the criminal charges that Diddy is now facing. You don't need to be a lawyer to see the connection between Cassie's claims and the charges of sex trafficking, racketeering, and transportation for prostitution. Let's break that down for a minute. Sex trafficking is about coercion, getting someone to participate in commercial sex acts by force, fraud, or threats. Cassie's experience, where she was allegedly forced into these freak-off sessions under duress, directly aligns with the federal definition of sex trafficking. She claims that Combs not only arranged these sex acts, but also drugged and manipulated her into participating, all while creating a system where sex workers were brought in from out of town. She wasn't just a victim of an abusive relationship. She was a pawn in a larger criminal scheme, one in which Combs allegedly controlled who came and went and profited from the sexual exploitation. Then there's the racketeering conspiracy charge. Racketeering is about coordinating a criminal enterprise. In this case, prosecutors are claiming that Combs ran an organized scheme to sexually exploit women. Cassie's claims provide a blueprint for what that enterprise might have looked like. It wasn't just Combs acting alone. Cassie alleges that his entourage and other people within his orbit helped to facilitate the trafficking. They allegedly knew what was going on and helped Combs carry out these acts. His team allegedly arranged travel, set up meetings, and kept the machinery of this exploitation running smoothly. This is where the enterprise part comes in. It's not just about Combs using his power to control one woman. It's about him using that power to create a system of trafficking, abuse, and control. And then we come to the transportation for prostitution charge, essentially moving people across state lines for the purpose of sexual exploitation. Cassie's allegations that Combs flew in sex workers for these events aren't just cruel, they're potentially criminal. According to Cassie's account, Combs wasn't just exploiting her, he was moving women around the country to participate in these sessions, which could open the door for even more charges of transporting victims for prostitution. Again, this isn't a one-off event, it was an ongoing pattern. Cassie alleges that this was a deliberate, calculated scheme, and the federal charges support that notion. Now let's talk about how all this connects to the 2023 lawsuit that Cassie filed. It wasn't just a legal maneuver, it was the starting point for the current criminal case against Combs. The lawsuit provided the authorities with a roadmap to investigate Combs more thoroughly. It opened the door for federal prosecutors to look deeper into Combs' actions and eventually charge him with the crimes he's now facing. Without Cassie stepping forward and making these allegations public, it's possible the investigation would have never gained enough traction. But it wasn't just Cassie's lawsuit that led to these charges. It was her public willingness to speak out. By filing the lawsuit and laying everything bare, Cassie set the stage for what would eventually become a full-blown criminal investigation. The allegations weren't just heard, they were investigated. And they led to federal charges. In a way, Cassie's decision to come forward was the spark that ignited this fire. The details of her allegations were crucial in forming the basis of the federal case. Prosecutors tied her claims of coercion, trafficking, and assault directly to the charges against Combs. For example, sex trafficking allegations matched perfectly with her experience of being forced into commercial sex acts. Her allegations of being transported across state lines for these events were a perfect fit for the Mann Act violations. It was the details she provided about her involvement in these freak-off sessions, about the physical and psychological abuse, about the way Combs orchestrated it all, that made the case come together. At this point, there's no going back for Diddy. The federal charges aren't just about defending himself against accusations. They're about defending a whole pattern of behavior that allegedly went on for years. Cassie's claims weren't just incidental. They were the heart of the case. And in many ways, she's the centerpiece of the trial. Her testimony could serve as the key to unlocking the truth of what really happened between her and Diddy and what other women might have gone through at his hands. But the story doesn't end here. Cassie's testimony is just one piece of a much bigger puzzle. And as we move forward into the next chapters of this saga, we'll look at how Ventura's testimony fits into the larger legal picture and how it could make or break the case. Because what she's about to say in court might be the thing that changes everything. And with that, we leave you at the edge of the story. Stay tuned, because the next chapter is just beginning. Cassie Ventura's decision to publicly testify in the case as against Sean Diddy Combs is not just a brave move. It's a pivotal moment in the trial that will undoubtedly shape the direction of the entire case. We've seen countless high-profile trials where victims remain behind the veil of anonymity, but Ventura is not following that path. She's made the decision to stand in front of the world, publicly naming herself as Victim One. This is not a decision taken lightly, especially when the stakes are this high and the scrutiny that comes with such a decision is nothing short of overwhelming. But what Cassie is doing is far from just telling her own story. By testifying under her own name, she's setting a precedent that is not only significant for the case, but also for the broader conversation about abuse, exploitation, and the courage it takes to speak out. Think about it for a second. When victims testify in high-profile cases, there's always a risk of their names being dragged through the mud. The defense often attacks the credibility of the accuser, questioning their motives, their past, and even their character. In Cassie's case, however, she is putting herself out there, not just as a victim, but as a public figure. This is someone who has built a career, been in the spotlight, and yet chose to reveal herself as a victim of exploitation. By testifying under her own name, Cassie is showing the court and the public that she has nothing to hide. She's saying, "This happened to me, and I'm not afraid to talk about it." That decision on its own adds a layer of credibility that no anonymous witness can provide. What's even more significant is that her decision sets a precedent for the entire case. There's always a risk in these types of trials that the victims can be painted as anonymous figures. Someone who isn't there, someone whose story is just a voice in the dark. Cassie's public testimony changes that dynamic. She is stepping forward and saying, "I am not invisible and my story matters." This has the potential to humanize the case in a way that it might not have been otherwise. When you hear from someone who is willing to put their name on the line, it shifts the narrative. The jury won't just see a faceless accuser. They'll see Cassie Ventura, a woman who's publicly named her abuser and who is prepared to face him in court. Her decision to testify publicly also serves as a powerful message to the other victims in the case. It's one thing to testify anonymously, but it's another to have a public figure like Cassie lead the charge. This is an example of courage that could inspire the others to feel more empowered in their own testimony. It's not just Cassie's testimony that matters. It's how it paves the way for others to follow. It sets the tone for the entire case. Her choice to testify with her name attached to her allegations sends a message to the jury. If she can face Diddy in the courtroom, so can they. Cassie's decision to testify isn't just about standing up to a man who has allegedly abused her, it's about taking ownership of her own story and demanding justice. In a way, her testimony empowers others to step into the light as well, even if they remain behind a screen or pseudonym. When you think about it, Her courage helps to elevate the entire case because it says loud and clear that the victims deserve to have their voices heard. It's not just a legal matter. It's a statement about taking control and demanding accountability. Now, as for the impact of her testimony, well, that's where the real weight of the case lies. Cassie's firsthand account of her experiences with Diddy is not just a story of physical abuse or emotional manipulation. Her testimony is the key to unlocking the charges of sex trafficking, racketeering conspiracy, and transportation for prostitution that Combs is facing. If you think about it, these charges are about more than just isolated incidents. They paint a picture of a long-running scheme, a system of manipulation, coercion, and exploitation. And Cassie's story is going to connect the dots between the abuse she endured and the criminal activities Combs is accused of. Cassie's testimony is vital because it's not just a series of isolated accusations. It's a detailed and personal account of how the trafficking system worked. She's not just alleging that she was abused. She's describing how Combs orchestrated these sex acts, how he arranged for male sex workers to be flown in, how he allegedly used his power and influence to manipulate her into participating in these events. This is the kind of specific detail that the prosecution needs to paint a full picture of the criminal enterprise Combs allegedly ran. By putting those pieces together, Cassie can help the jury understand that this wasn't just an abusive relationship. It was part of something much bigger, something systematic. When you listen to someone like Cassie recount her experience, it's easy to see how her testimony becomes a core pillar of the case. Her account ties directly into the sex trafficking charges when she talks about being coerced into sexual acts with men, being manipulated under the influence of drugs, and being forced into a pattern of sexual exploitation. Those are the exact elements that define sex trafficking by force or coercion. Cassie's testimony will help establish a pattern of behavior that fits the federal definition of trafficking. She's not just talking about isolated incidents. She's describing how Combs built a system of control and exploitation. That system, according to the charges, was sex trafficking. Beyond just the trafficking charges, Cassie's testimony will also have a significant impact on the racketeering conspiracy charge. The prosecution alleges that Combs wasn't just acting alone. He was part of a larger criminal operation, one that involved not only himself, but also people in his inner circle who helped him arrange these encounters and cover up his actions. If Cassie's testimony can help establish that other people were involved, that will be key to proving that this wasn't just an isolated act of abuse. She can talk about how other members of his team facilitated these events, how they played a role in enabling his abuse. It's one thing to accuse Combs of orchestrating these events, but it's another to prove that he didn't do it alone. And Cassie's testimony could help show that he used his power and influence to recruit others into his scheme. As much as Cassie's story is compelling on its own, the real power comes when it corroborates the other evidence. Cassie's testimony isn't happening in a vacuum. There's already physical evidence and witness testimony that backs up her claims. We've already talked about the video that surfaced from 2016 showing Combs assaulting Cassie in a hotel. The prosecution can point to that video as clear evidence of abuse. A piece of evidence that can help show the jury that Cassie isn't just making things up. That video is more than just a snapshot of violence. It's a piece of the puzzle that shows how physical abuse was part of a larger cycle of control, intimidation, and fear. Cassie's testimony can help explain what was happening before and after that video was shot. How the violence escalated, how she was made to feel powerless, and how that all ties into the sex trafficking operation. And it's not just about the video. It's about how Cassie's account fits together with other evidence. For instance, the records of Combs flying in male sex workers for these freak-off sessions. Cassie can confirm those events, providing context that will help the jury see them not just as casual encounters, but as part of a carefully orchestrated plan. Those records will show that Combs wasn't just randomly making travel arrangements for these men. He was intentionally bringing them in for a purpose, to sexually exploit women like Cassie. The logistics of the trafficking are going to be made clearer by Cassie's testimony. She can speak to the deliberate nature of these events, how they weren't mistakes or miscommunications. They were planned, organized, and executed with intent. What's also critical about Cassie's testimony is how it ties everything together. We've got the victims, we've got the evidence, but it's Cassie's firsthand account that gives it the emotional and narrative weight it needs. Think of it this way. The details and documents are like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, but Cassie's testimony is the image on the box that shows how all those pieces fit together. She's the one who can tell the jury how it felt to be manipulated, coerced, and controlled, how it felt to be trapped in a relationship where the person you loved was also the person who was destroying you. That's the kind of testimony that sticks with you. That's the kind of testimony that can help humanize the case for the jury. And that's what this trial comes down to. Cassie Ventura's testimony isn't just a recounting of events, it's a catalyst. It's going to shift the jury's perception. It's going to help them understand that this wasn't just an isolated incident and it wasn't just about a single abusive relationship. It was part of a larger system of exploitation and control. And that's the kind of story that the prosecution needs to tell if they want to secure a conviction. Without Cassie's brave decision to step forward, that story wouldn't be possible. As the trial progresses, Cassie's testimony is going to set the stage for the rest of the case. It's going to help the prosecution build its narrative, and it's going to strengthen the other victim testimonies as they come forward. The question now is how it will all play out in court. Cassie's bravery has already made a massive impact, but the real test comes when she's face-to-face with Diddy in that courtroom. And as we move toward the next phase of this case, it's clear that Ventura's testimony is just the beginning. There's a lot more to this story, and it's far from over. When you think about a high-profile criminal trial like the one facing Sean Diddy Combs, you start to realize that it's not just about the people involved, it's about the evidence, the victims, and the defense. And in this case, all of those elements are at play, creating a complex, multi-layered legal landscape. The case against Combs is a serious one, built on allegations that aren't just about a relationship gone wrong. They're about a long-running system of manipulation, control, and exploitation. For the prosecution, this is a story of abuse and trafficking. And they have a mountain of evidence that they argue connects Combs to a criminal enterprise. But as always, the defense is there to cast doubt, challenge the credibility of the witnesses, and break apart the prosecution's narrative. Let's break down the crucial pieces of the puzzle, starting with the key evidence that backs up the claims against Combs. First, there's the infamous 2016 hotel assault video. If you've been following the case, you've probably heard about this piece of evidence. It's one of the most damning and significant pieces of footage to come out of this trial. In the video, which was leaked to the public in 2024, we see Combs physically assaulting Cassie in a hotel room. It's not just a minor confrontation. This is physical violence that Cassie has been alleging for years. He's seen grabbing her, kicking her, and even dragging her across the floor as she tries to get away. There's no ambiguity in this footage. It shows the kind of abusive behavior Cassie has described in her lawsuit, and it's a key piece of evidence for the prosecution. This video provides a graphic confirmation of what Cassie has been saying about the physical abuse she endured during her time with Combs. It's the visual proof that validates the abuse claims, and it's a powerful tool in the prosecution's case. When you can show a jury actual footage of the abuse, it's hard to deny that it happened. And while the defense will likely try to argue that this was an isolated incident or that it doesn't represent the entire relationship, the video still packs a punch in making Cassie's story more real and undeniable. But the hotel video is just one part of the puzzle. The prosecution also has travel records and flight details that link Combs to the sex trafficking activities he's accused of orchestrating. These records show that over the years, Combs was flying in male sex workers for what he called his freak-off parties. This is where things start to get really interesting from a legal standpoint. These flight records aren't just random travel details. They show a pattern of organized activity, one that the prosecution argues was designed to facilitate sex trafficking. It's not just that Combs allegedly arranged these encounters. It's that he allegedly used his power and resources to coordinate them across state lines. This isn't about one-off encounters. It's a system. The records suggest that Combs was actively involved in facilitating and organizing these sexual encounters, and they strengthen the claims that he used his entourage and staff to enable his activities. This is critical evidence for proving the charge of transportation for prostitution, which accuses Combs of moving people across state lines for the purpose of engaging in commercial sex acts. And when you see the flight details linked with Cassie's testimony about the trips she was forced to take, it starts to look less like an isolated affair and more like a well-orchestrated operation. Then there are the seized videos and documents that were recovered during a raid on Combs's property. Authorities reportedly found footage of these freak-off sessions, video recordings that allegedly show Combs orchestrating the very things Cassie has accused him of. These recordings are crucial because they corroborate the claims of sexual exploitation that Cassie has made. They don't just back up the idea that Combs participated in these events. They suggest that he was deeply involved in directing and documenting them, essentially using video footage as a form of control. In many ways, these videos are evidence of the coercion that Cassie described. They show that Combs was not just passively watching these acts unfold, he was actively controlling the situation, even documenting the sexual acts for his own purposes. And in the world of criminal law, it's one thing to hear about an alleged act. It's another to have visual evidence that ties the accused directly to the crime. This footage may very well be one of the most impactful pieces of evidence, as it could show not just the acts themselves, but the system Combs allegedly created to exploit others. For the prosecution, this is gold, the physical evidence that links Combs directly to the criminal conduct. But as strong as the evidence may be, the prosecution can't make its case on evidence alone. The other critical part of this trial is the victim testimonies, particularly the testimonies of the other women who have come forward with similar claims against Combs. In a case like this, multiple victims are essential because they help establish a pattern of behavior. That's where victims 2, 3, and 4 come in. These women have not agreed to testify publicly. They've chosen to remain anonymous for personal reasons, but their voices are just as important to the case. Each of these women has claimed that Combs subjected them to similar forms of abuse and exploitation. Their stories align with what Cassie has alleged, and their testimony will add significant weight to the prosecution's case. They can speak to similar tactics, the same manipulation, and the same level of control Combs allegedly exerted over them. By hearing these other women's stories, the jury will be able to see that Cassie's experience wasn't isolated. It was part of a larger pattern of exploitation. The fact that there are multiple victims all telling similar stories is crucial because it makes the case that much more difficult for the defense to dismiss as a one-off personal dispute. The defense can argue all they want that Cassie is just bitter or that she's trying to get back at Combs for the way their relationship ended. But when you have multiple victims with consistent testimonies, it becomes harder for the defense to paint the case as a personal vendetta or a misunderstanding. These women are speaking out not because they want to attack Combs personally, but because they believe it's time to expose what they claim happened to them under his control. Now, you might be wondering, if the evidence is this strong, why wouldn't Combs' defense team just throw in the towel? Well, that's where things get tricky. Combs' defense team is going to be working overtime to discredit the victims and attack their credibility. That's always the strategy in cases like this. They'll try to paint the victims as unreliable witnesses or claim that their allegations are motivated by revenge, money, or attention. For example, they might argue that Cassie's testimony is colored by bitterness or that she's exaggerating the details of her experiences to fit a narrative. They could even try to imply that she willingly participated in these sex acts, framing it as consensual behavior that has now been reinterpreted as abuse for the sake of the trial. The defense could also point to the speed with which Cassie settled her 2023 lawsuit, The fact that she took a settlement could be used to undermine her credibility. The argument might go something like this. If she really cared about seeking justice, why did she settle so quickly? Why didn't she go to trial in the civil case and fight for a public judgment? This is a classic defense tactic. Paint the accuser as someone who's looking for a quick payout rather than a genuine victim seeking accountability. But in reality, Cassie's settlement might not be as damaging to her case as the defense hopes. In many ways, the settlement was simply a legal strategy to avoid a long, drawn-out civil case. The settlement doesn't negate the truth of her allegations, and it certainly doesn't prevent her from testifying in the criminal trial. Another tactic the defense might use is to minimize the abuse by focusing on the fact that Cassie and Combs had a long-term relationship. They could argue that what happened was part of a complicated romantic relationship, and that some of the things Cassie experienced were just part of a normal relationship that went awry. In essence, they might try to paint the abuse as just a messy breakup between two people who didn't get along, rather than a systematic pattern of abuse and control. This is where the other victim's testimony will really help. By showing that this wasn't an isolated incident or an emotionally charged breakup, the prosecution can argue that Combs' behavior was part of a much larger pattern of abuse and exploitation. Legal experts are already weighing in on the case, and there seems to be a consensus that Ventura's testimony is going to be pivotal. If Cassie's story is credible, consistent, and corroborated by other evidence, it could form the backbone of the prosecution's case. Legal commentators are saying that even though Combs has a well-funded defense team, the mountain of evidence from the hotel assault video to the flight records and the testimonies of multiple victims makes this case much stronger than most people realize. Experts agree that Cassie's testimony will have a huge impact on the jury because it ties together the physical abuse, the trafficking, and the pattern of criminal activity that Combs is accused of orchestrating. In short, while the defense will do everything in its power to discredit the victims and tear apart the prosecution's case, the weight of the evidence and the testimonies of the victims, especially Cassie Ventura, are strong enough to challenge Combs' defense and bring the truth to light. The prosecution's strategy is clear. By showing that Cassie's experience is part of a much larger scheme, they will make it impossible for the defense to claim that the abuse was an isolated incident. But of course, the trial is far from over, and with both sides gearing up for what's to come, the stakes have never been higher.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.